Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports, Colorado's largest ATV and motorcycle dealer. We're going to go right to the phones, where I hope she's been patiently waiting, and talk to Rebecca Farrell from Parks and Wildlife. Sorry about the delay there, Rebecca, but thanks for hanging on.
No worries. I gave you a chance to figure out who to talk to go fishing out at Lake Pueblo.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. People quit fishing too early in the year. Because, you know, a lot of them are out hunting, and we're going to talk about what's going on with big game, you and I. And a lot of them are just, they've settled in to watching TV and sitting by the fire, which is great. I enjoy some of that. But some of the best fishing of the year is in the fall, and it's not crowded. There's nobody out there. Yeah. It's just a great
time. We always encourage people to go out fall fishing. It's a great time of year. Like you said, it's far less crowded, and there's still a lot of fish to be had.
Well, and you and I both know, because you've been on the show many times, and I talked to all the folks from Parks and Wildlife, that more and more people are doing fall, winter, year-round activities. Parks and the activities in our parks is no longer just a summertime event. It's year-round.
Absolutely. That's one of the best parts of living in Colorado.
Oh, it is. Hey, now, speaking of that, we talked about how these weather changes and time of the year have affected the bird migrations, but it's affecting other animals too, and because of that, we have to be a little more cautious, don't we?
Absolutely. So tonight and or early tomorrow, depending on your schedule, we'll be looking at daylight savings time. And I know I, for one, appreciate that extra hour of sleep, but we're also looking at things staying a lot darker in the morning and getting darker a little earlier in the evening. And so while people are pretty cognizant of the fact that wildlife tend to be out and about between those dusk and dawn hours, they need to really think about the fact that even though your work hours haven't changed, those hours of daylight have. And so right now is when you're going to be more likely to start seeing wildlife on and near the roads. That's because obviously they're migrating down to where the food and the water is, and especially after these storms we've had, it's time for them to get to where things are a little bit more calm for their winter settling in. But deer are also still in the rut, and so when they're looking to mate, they are not paying attention to much of anything other than getting that activity done. And so it's up to us to really be cognizant and be aware and be looking for wildlife on and near the roads.
Well, you're absolutely right, and although the rut might take place sometime around this time of the year every year, some of the migration, you know, in the last few years, we haven't had cold weather this early. So is that, are we seeing maybe a little earlier migration? So people really need to kind of reset their thinking because of that?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And, you know, keep in mind that animals don't have a calendar, right? They're not looking for November 15th as moving day. So as weather changes and as things change up in the higher terrain and with some of the storms and the snow that we've had this year, they're going to be moving down a little bit earlier. So it's really important for us to be thinking about and looking for those animals making those moves.
Well, and I think it's just, you know, it's just common sense. You know, I was almost going to say I grew up in northern Minnesota, but my wife, who's my producer, would have come on and said I just got older there. I never grew up. But you know, we would get the deer and small game along the road driving the highways in northern Minnesota all the time. And I think we got real conditioned to watching for it. But I think in Colorado sometimes people don't realize that it isn't just those mountain roads and things where you're liable to see a deer or elk, is it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have some pretty well-known hot spots around the state that we've been watching. And one of those is right along I-25. And so Colorado Parks and Wildlife has worked really closely with the Colorado Department of Transportation on that big I-25 gap project. We know it's, you know, not the most convenient for drivers right now, but it's important for people to know that as part of that project, we had game cameras out. We saw some of the traveling patterns of big game right there between Larkspur and Castle Rock. And so we know that animals had a high incidence of being hit there. And so as they redo that project, they've added four passes, overpasses, and underpasses for wildlife, and they've increased the amount of deer fencing by a great amount. And so right here in the Front Range, right here on those major freeways that you might not think about being an important corridor for wildlife, it certainly is. And we're working with CDOT really closely to try and mitigate that best we can.
I got to share something with you, and I won't use anybody's name or who they were, but you guys were you put up a new deer crossing sign in an area, and a person said, why would they want them to cross there? That's a busy place.
You'd be surprised what the things people think wildlife can do.
Yeah. Now, let's get serious for a minute. We want people to be aware. The best thing, you know, one of the things a lot of new cars have now are the automatic dimming headlights, so that you can put your lights on bright, and they will dim when you either come up behind a car or one approaches you. But having your headlights on properly and properly lined for your car and seeing those eyes, that's one of the biggest things at those dusk and dawn hours.
Absolutely. You know, there are some things that, you know, really people should be doing all year long, paying attention to those traffic signs. The deer may not know that's where they need to cross, but we know that's where they're crossing. And so we ask people to really kind of pay attention to those traffic signs and obey, because we put them there for a reason. We know that's where some of those migration patterns and crossings happen. And certainly just slow down. You know, we all have places to go. We're a busy society, but traveling at high speeds really will increase the danger of any collision that you may have. And so if you keep yourself a little bit slower, especially when you're in those winding dark areas, and stay alert, watch for those eyes. One of the things that we hear from people who do get themselves into accidents is, you know, I saw a pair of eyes over on the right side of the road and I was really paying attention, but then another one darted right out. And so if you're seeing a pair of those glowing eyes, odds are pretty good that there's going to be multiple pairs of those eyes out there as well.
Now, what should we do? I know CDOT and both you guys have some recommendations that I wholeheartedly agree with. Heaven forbid I'm going down the road and there's a deer in front of me. How do I react?
Well, first of all, of course, you know, we're hoping that you're paying attention and slowing down a little bit so that you can stop. If the animal is stopped in the middle of the road and you are able to stop in front of that animal, you know, honk your horn, flash your headlights, give it the warning that you're there, give it a signal that maybe it's time for it to move on. You know, but we see and hear a lot of times people, you know, they swerve to avoid that animal. And if you have the ability to slow down, in a lot of instances, it's better to actually not swerve. You're going to want to do your best to slow down and stop, but if you can, it's probably better to actually hit the animal than swerve in a lot of cases. Obviously, if you're looking at a moose dead ahead, it's a little bit different than a deer, but in any case, in any situation, you know, we beg people to please wear your seatbelts, because not every collision is avoidable. We know that the risk of serious injury and death and crashes is cut in half if people just wear their seatbelts.
All right. You know, just the message we want to get out is the animals are moving. They'll be along roadways because there's protection. They may like some of the salt that's down there. Hunters are going to be pushing them around. We have the rifle season. They're in the rut. Both deer and elk are, I mean, the elk aren't in the rut. Their rut is over, but they're moving. The weather's got them migrating. Just be extra careful, right?
Absolutely. Pay attention to what's around you. Be aware the wildlife are going to be on and near the roadways, and do your part to help conserve the wildlife here in Colorado.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Harry.
You bet. That's Rebecca from Colorado Parks and Wildlife. We're running a little bit behind, but don't go away, because our next segment is going to be fun. If you ever played like Pokemon or those kind of things, you're going to find what State Parks has an opportunity to go out and really have some fun. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.